Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
There's no craving like a pizza craving. Dreaming about a pizza with a golden crust? Check. Want a pizza bowl loaded with four of your favorite toppings? Yep. Looking for the melty goodness of fresh baked cheesy bread? Of course you are. And this perfect pizza trifecta is $21.99. So when it comes to your craving, you can check all the boxes. Pizza boxes, that is. Visit Marcos.com to order and find more deals like this one. Marcos. Pizza lovers get it.
Glad to have you with us for a Sunday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report right here on your home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Kevin McAlpin here with you. It is Sunday morning, April 18th, 2021. Braves and Cubs coming up tonight with some Sunday night baseball from the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. We'll get you caught up to speed on what to look for in tonight's game with Bryce Wilson on the mound a little bit later on in our show. We will also have a full rundown of the action yesterday at Wrigley Field, a forgettable day for the Braves as they gave up not one, not two, not three, four, or five, but six home runs to the Chicago Cubs in a lopsided 13-4 loss yesterday afternoon. We'll run through what you may have missed from that one. And we'll also, if you missed any of the roster moves from yesterday, a flurry of roster activity for the Braves prior to yesterday's game, including probably the feel-good story around Major League Baseball. All that, and of course, as we do each and every day, we'll take a look at this date in baseball history, one of my favorite things to do each and every day as I continue to learn more and more about this beautiful game. We'll get to that a little bit later on in our show, and we will hear from Brian Snitker and others from inside that visitors clubhouse at Wrigley Field. All right, let's start with the bad news from yesterday. Of course, the on the field speaks for itself, 13-4 loss at Wrigley Field. However, the Braves had to make a couple of roster moves prior to the game yesterday. One, we fully expected in Ender Inciarte as he left the game on Thursday with a strained hamstring, on Friday. These days all start running together. Left the game on Friday with a hamstring issue. He is on the injured list. That was not a big surprise. But Sean Newcomb also landing on the IL for undisclosed reasons. Now, again, baseball in 2020 and 2021, you can draw your own conclusions when there is not a reason listed for a player landing on the IL. I don't want to speculate because I don't know. But it certainly feels like this could certainly have to do with COVID protocols here for Sean Newcomb. Again, no injury given. Snit said before the game, basically all I can say is we had to put him on the injured list. That was about the extent of the update for Sean Newcomb. As far as other guys that are a bit banged up on this Braves roster, Ozzie Albies was not in the lineup yesterday. Doubtful to play tonight. Braves are off tomorrow, so that would give him another extra day, and then I think you could get him back in your lineup on Tuesday. Again, he did not require an IL stint. That's the good news, and the Braves are hopeful that they can get him back out there coming up on Tuesday against the Yankees. Again, team's off tomorrow, and then they're off again on Thursday, so a couple of days off for the fellas coming up throughout the course of the next handful of days. All right, so again, on the field yesterday, we're not going to dwell too much on what happened. We are going to focus on the big moment of the game. That was in the fifth inning. Sean Casmar Jr., it was the top story on MLB.com for most of the day yesterday. 36 years old, spent the last eight seasons in the Braves minor league system at AAA Gwinnett. He holds all kinds of records with the Stripers, games played, and a number of different statistics. He holds all kinds of records down there at Gwinnett. Well, the 36-year-old who has not appeared in a major league game since September of 2008, when he made 19 appearances with the Padres, got his opportunity yesterday, and it was a tremendous moment, and we're going to hear from Sean Casmar Jr. a little bit later on in our show. This guy is one of the all-time good guys. I've gotten a chance to know him over the course of spring trainings in the past. He hit over 400 this past spring training. Snit said that he's been there at the team's MVP the last three spring trainings. Unfortunately, he plays the infield, and he plays the middle infield. And as we know, Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, they've got those spots locked up pretty hard. He's not going to play third. Obviously, first base is covered by some guy you may have heard of as well. So Sean Casmar Jr. is a guy that would go to spring training year in and year out. realistically knowing that he didn't have a chance to make the team, but he worked his tail off, he battled, he competed every single day, and it was a tremendous day yesterday. This is why I love this game so much. He's the definition of a grinder. He's worked hard to get to this point. I got a text yesterday from former Brave Phil Goslin when he found out the news that Kaz was getting called up. He said he's an all-time teammate. He's one of my favorite guys. He deserves this. And people underrate how good he is. He's a good ball player. And again, he got his opportunity. Unfortunately, he would ground into a double play in the fifth inning. But before he stepped to the box, a great moment. His entire team was on the top step of the dugout. They were all cheering for him. They were all pulling for him. Even the home plate umpire gave him a minute, stepped out to allow his team to recognize the accomplishments. That is why I love this game so much. Took off his helmet and tipped it to the dugout. It was just a really, really cool moment. And for me, as the parent of an almost six-year-old who is in love with the game of baseball and plays the game and has played for the last couple of years, it's a great moment to share with my son to say, look, you know what? There's people that are going to say, you may not be tall enough, or you may not be strong enough, or you may not be fast enough. Guess what? Don't let somebody tell you you can't do anything. It's inspiration for a lot of different people. As I've told Max, Ozzie Albies is the smallest guy on the team. Max is the smallest guy on his little league team. But guess what? It doesn't stop him from going out there playing hard and having a lot of fun in the process. So Sean Kazmar, certainly a great story yesterday in Major League Baseball. We need more of these. And again, it's why I love this game so much. Great to see his family in the stands. And oh, by the way, to do it at Wrigley Field, how cool is that? I mean, just to have the historic venue of a Wrigley Field was really, really cool. So happy for Kaz, happy for his entire family. Look, I don't know how long this thing lasts. It might only be another day or two before he heads back to AAA, but it was just a really, really cool moment. And again, it was a bright spot in a game that, let's be honest, didn't have a whole lot of them if you're a Brave fan yesterday. 13-4 was the final as the Cubs hit six home runs, two from Wilson Contreras, two more from Chris Bryant, a three-run shot from David Bodie, and then Javi Baez also went yard. Tough day for Waskari Noah, who had pitched so well in the early portion of the season. He gives up six earned on seven hits over four innings worth of work, walked one and struck out five. Didn't get a whole lot better for Jesse Biddle. Yeah, remember Jesse Biddle? He was here a few years ago, had some trouble with walks, and obviously bounced around ever since. Well, he was back on a minor league deal and was activated before the game yesterday with Sean Newcomb going on the IL. He records just one out, gives up four runs, two hits, walked one and struck out one. Jacob Webb came in. He was touched up for a three-run homer from David Bodie in that bottom of the fifth. All told, it was just a forgettable day for the Braves pitching staff. And again, a bullpen that's been pretty good, but again, has had some injuries here. You know, you're without Chris Martin. Now you're without Sean Newcomb. That's a big loss because Newcomb had been throwing the ball really, really well. Hey, as far as other stories that are cool from yesterday's game, seeing Shelby Miller in a major league game again, he has been a guy that has just had injury after injury after injury. I looked this up during the pregame show with Chris Domino a few days ago. Shelby Miller here in 2015. Remember, he was an all-star for the Braves in 2015. He was 24 years old. He won just six games. He was 6-17 as a member of the Braves and was an all-star in 2015. He made 33 starts. He had a 302 earned run average. He came one out away from a no-hitter in Miami back in 2015 before Justin Bour broke that up with a base hit. Ever since, from 2016 until now, yesterday was just the 50th appearance for Shelby Miller in a big league game. He made 20 appearances in 2016, just four starts in 2017, five appearances with an injury-riddled 2018, made 19 appearances in 2019, but just eight of those were starts, and then missed all of last season. And he entered yesterday. He had made one appearance with the Cubs, and he hadn't gotten an out. He had an infinity ERA going into yesterday's outing. But again, a guy, really, really good dude, and just great to see him back healthy once again. Look, I don't follow the Cubs, admittedly, as close as most people do. I don't know how long he sticks around, but again, a guy that you want to pull for, you know, just a guy that's dealt with so many injuries in the past, and great to see him persevere and get himself back into the big leagues once again here in 2021. By the way, he's just 30 years old. That blew my mind. I thought for sure 33, 34, 35. We looked it up, 30 years old. Came up as a 21-year-old in 2012. with the St. Louis Cardinals, third in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2013. Again, really good guy, a guy you want to pull for and root for. Same can be said about Dan Winkler, former Brave. Remember when his elbow broke throwing a pitch a few years back? Good to see him get himself back and healthy and pitching again at the highest level. So those were some feel-good moments in a game where, let's be honest, the best part is you do this. You turn the page, you move on, and you get ready for tonight. It's the Braves and the Cubs. It's Sunday Night Baseball from Wrigley Field. When we return, after a quick break, we're going to take you inside the clubhouse to hear from Brian Snitker, and of course, we will hear from Sean Casmar Jr., an emotional Sean Casmar Jr. after his return to the major leagues after 12 years and 200 and some odd days. It was just really, really cool, and we'll hear from Sean Casmar when we return. We'll also take a look at this date in baseball history, and we're glad to have you with us here on a Sunday morning with the Frozen Rope Report.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
We continue on a Sunday morning, and we're glad to have you with us. We're also glad to have the fine folks at DBAT Marietta along with us here as well. Make sure, if you have not done so already, that visit them online at dbatmarietta.com. Obviously, you've got travel ball season in full effect. Summer camps are right around the corner as well. They've got clinics. They've got private lessons. They've got batting cage rentals. They've got a great pro shop there. They've got everything you need at DBAT Marietta. You can host birthday parties there, end of season, little league parties. You name it, they've got you covered. Memberships of all different varying price ranges are also available at DBAT Marietta. You can check them out online at dbatmarietta.com. Schedule a lesson. You can also register for camps and clinics there on their website. And again, they'll take really good care of you. Great instructors over there at DBAT Marietta, including our favorite Coach Charles. My son Max takes lessons from Coach Charles, loves Coach Charles, and we love DBAT Marietta, and we appreciate them coming along for the ride with us here for the 2021 season. All right, time now to take you inside that visitor's clubhouse at Wrigley Field. Let's first hear from the skipper, Brian Snitker, get his thoughts on what wasn't working for Waskari Noah yesterday, and of course, the big story of the day, Sean Casmar Jr. getting a chance back in the big leagues for the first time since 2008.
What did you think of Noah today? What was the difference between...
He didn't get his changeup going, and, you know, two-pitch pitcher as a starter, they kind of can narrow you down. Didn't matter how hard he was throwing, he kind of, you know... really getting anything established, and you know, he threw a couple of good changeups, but it's going to need to be a part of it also. Slider had the bite that it did the last couple times either.
And with the wind blowing, apparently wind blowing in, if it's blowing out at that place, you can get.
Well, I mean, them balls were hit. It didn't matter. They could have been blown in today the way balls were hit. Yeah.
Well, it's good to see Casmar get in there, even if he grounded a double play. Nice to see him get up there.
Well, you know, I mean, it speaks volumes to what he's been through the last 13 years. You know, you see, not a good thing when you start pitch hitting that early in the game either.
Yeah. Pretty cool that his wife and his parents were able to get there from Arizona.
Yeah, that's not it. It's a big deal. It's kind of like a guy's debut almost. Mm-hmm. Second debut for him.
Not a lot has been made of the Cubs' early struggles, but today's just an example of how dangerous that lineup can still be of all those established guys.
Man, I didn't hear anything.
Sorry. A lot's been made of the Cubs' offensive struggles.
Okay.
Yeah, was today just an example of how dangerous that lineup still
is? No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's still a really good lineup. It's not hitting on all cylinders early. Just, you know, we're not either, quite honestly. But that's a, you know, I mean, that's got, they got a bunch of guys over there that have done it before. And you know, I know it's talking to David and all, it's kind of been rough go for them too. Start now. So, but they're capable, you know, obviously they're capable of that. You better make pitches, you know, because there's the kind of team that'll hurt you if you don't.
Saw a couple of your former guys come out of their bullpen over there, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every time I watch Dan Winkler, I just wonder how the heck he's doing that after what he went through. Just still blows me away that he's still pitching, and good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been through a lot with that arm.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable what he's come through.
Well, I guess they were waiting for one of those kind of outings to kind of explode. And I know you guys, you've had a couple good outings, but one of those where your power hitters are all hitting the ball out of the park. You're fully capable of that too, I'm sure you think.
No, absolutely. We could turn the tables at any point in time. Our guys are capable of that. This is just kind of a rough day.
Their guy got spotted in that big lead. Makes it a little easier to pitch, huh?
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, makes pitch, you know, throws the ball over the plate, makes you put the ball in play. You know, something good might happen.
From the skipper to the big story of the day, that was Sean Kazmar Jr. He grounded into a double play in his only plate appearance yesterday. That was in the bottom of the fifth inning. Let's hear from Kaz talking about that long and winding road back to the big leagues.
Kaz, what can you describe the thrill that it was today getting out there again? It's been so long.
Yeah, I mean, definitely everything and some. What an amazing feeling. Obviously, wasn't the outcome we were looking for. You know, a win would have been nice, but man, what a good feeling. You know, just last night when Snit told me and you know, waking up and then getting that opportunity early in the game was awesome. But again, yeah, man, amazing feeling. Glad to be here and hopefully stick around a little longer.
Where were you when you found out last night?
I was in my hotel room, you know, obviously watching the game and seeing everything kind of go down. And, you know, I tell guys all the time, you know, you never know in this game. And you know, sure enough, you know, obviously I'm a testament to it. You know, you never know. So, I got a phone call a few hours after the game and I was, you know, told to come see Snit and the rest is history.
What's kept you going these last 12, 13 years? I mean, it would have been so easy just to, you know, kind of ride it out and just end it, you know, with Triple A. Just kind of what has kept you going? Is it this moment?
Certainly. I mean, there's, you know, there could have been obvious times where, you know, I doubted that this opportunity would ever come, but, you know, honestly, it never really left my mind. And especially the last few years that I've been playing in Gwinnett, you know, it was like, I still felt like I still had the ability to play at this level. So just super fortunate to get this opportunity and you know, to be, you know, one, to do it, you know, with the Atlanta Braves uniform on and secondly, to do it at Wrigley Field. It was amazing.
And then to have your family here also, just kind of what did that mean to you for them to be able to make the trip to see you?
Absolutely phenomenal. You know, I knew my wife would, you know, drop everything she has. She was actually at our boys, my Sean the Third, his baseball game had just started. And luckily enough, we had the in-laws in town, you know, about an hour prior. So she, her and my mom were able to rush and get on a red eye last night. And you know, obviously with all the protocols and stuff, it's kind of weird not being able to see him. I got to say hi to him before the game, but just amazing. They've had my back, you know, since day one and such a huge support system for me. So it's pretty neat for them as well.
When you've waited 12 years and I think it's like 200 days, I mean, were you nervous, emotional, you know, when you came in to pitch it?
Sure. Yeah. All the above. Yeah. You know, it's obviously it's crossed my mind, you know, and looking back those 12, whatever years, 200 days, it kind of flew by in a sense, you know, this, you only get one shot at this career. So, you know, it didn't seem as long as it felt, but yeah, certainly just hearing, you know, how long it's been, and it's really neat to get this opportunity.
What has Snicker meant to you in your career?
Unbelievable guy, unbelievable manager. I was able to play for him for, you know, two and a half years in Gwinnett. And then, you know, being with him, you know, in spring, the last 3 or 4 years, he's, you know, he's a guy that's always had my back, and I would do anything for him. And, you know, anything he asked for me to do, I'm willing to do. And, you know, just to have that support system, have Snit and this amazing staff that's here right now, and how fired up they were was pretty neat to see.
There's not a lot of guys like you left in organizations now with the reduction in minor league teams and all that. So it's got to feel pretty special that they care that much about you.
Absolutely. Certain, you know, and it's crazy because, you know, at this time I was sitting at home on unemployment, you know, which is crazy a year ago. So it's like, you know, you kind of see how the game evolves, obviously being around in it, and you know, the game going younger, and it seems like a lot of younger guys coming up, and you know, that's every year. But yeah, for to just have this opportunity and for them to allow me to, you know, keep signing back and keep signing these minor league deals. And, you know, at the end of the day, like I told Snit, you know, it's like, it's a pretty crazy story, you know, and everything about the end of the day, I just wanted to play baseball. I still have the love and passion for it. And you know, I obviously always dreamed about this opportunity coming up again. And sure enough, it did. And, you know, wish the results were a little better, but it was definitely awesome getting out there.
Sean, were you actually receiving unemployment last year?
Sure was. Yeah.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, there was a number of other minor league guys that were in my situation where, you know, it was kind of early on. It was, you know, am I going to be part of that? You know, I think at the time it was like a 50 man roster, and then it came out and said it was going to be a 60 man. And, you know, so it was kind of tough to, you know, really go out and maybe look for a job when you weren't really too sure if you were going to be a part of that. And then when that didn't happen, it was, you know, my first summer in Arizona, so it was a little hot. But, you know, it was great because, I mean, the plus side of it, I got so much time with my two little boys and my wife, and you know, I wouldn't take that back for anything, because, you know, seeing my one-year-old and seeing all those milestones that I might have missed being at the field was certainly special.
Hey, Sean, do you remember the last time you played before this, September 23rd, 2008? Do you remember that game, the last time you played? I think most of those guys are no longer active anymore.
Yeah, I believe it was in Washington, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Actually, I think you guys played the Dodgers.
Oh, was it the Dodgers? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I think Washington might have been the trip before. Apparently not. that's how long it's been, I guess. I do recall grounding out to end the game against Bimel, I believe it was, lefty. I don't know if that was my last game or not, but it was worth the wait for sure to get back, get in here and get another AB. And I think I did a similar thing, though, in a second.
And I guess congratulations on making it back, but I mean, like, you know, playing AAA baseball is not particularly lucrative. Like, was it at times difficult to keep going? And why do that? Just, I mean, you said to make it back, but I mean, what drove you, really? I mean, throughout that time, it's not a particularly lucrative job.
You know, honestly, I think about it all the time, and I certainly had a lot of time to think about it, you know, last year when you know, COVID hit. The best way I can say it is just the love and passion I have for this game. It's all I've really done. It's something that I loved since I was 4 years old. You know, born in Braves country, it was the first jersey I ever put on. So this certainly is beyond special for me to be able to wear, you know, the big league uniform in an actual major league game today. But it was just the love and passion, like I said earlier. It just, you know, I just want to play ball. You know, I love it. You know, obviously it wasn't, when I first started this career, it wasn't, you know, I want to try and play in AAA, you know, my whole career. That's just kind of how it ended up. But at the same time, this is, you know, I'd do it all over again just for, you know, a day like today. and play that long again.
Really cool stuff there to hear from Sean Kazmar, a guy that was collecting unemployment this time last year, as were a lot of minor league ball players, as were, let's be honest, as were a lot of folks around the country. It's been a tough calendar year plus, but obviously it's great to see us sort of on the back end of this thing and starting to get back to some sense of normalcy here in April of 2021. It's just a feel-good story. It's a guy you want to pull for. I don't know how you can't pull for him after hearing those comments that he made there, and he would do it all again if he had to. And that just shows you the kind of guy Sean Kazmar is. Beloved by his teammates and his coaches and everybody involved, and it was a great moment. And again, I don't know how long this thing lasts, but you know what? It's a story he'll tell his kids, his grandkids, and they'll have a moment and a memory to live throughout the rest of their lives. And it was a cool moment. And to happen at Wrigley Field, even cooler for Sean Kazmar Jr. All right, time now to take a look at this date in baseball history, folks. It was on this date, April the 18th, in 1899. A 26-year-old John McGraw makes his debut as a major league manager when the Orioles beat the Giants 5-3, a team that, of course, he would later manage for 30 years. McGraw ended up being a 1937 Hall of Fame inductee, finishes a 33-year managerial career with 2,763 wins and 1,948 losses en route to 10 pennants and 3 World Series titles. On this date in 1899, a 26-year-old John McGraw manages his first ever game. It was also on this date in 1923, in front of 72,000 fans at Yankee Stadium, the new ballpark opens with Babe Ruth hitting the ballpark's first ever home run, a 2-run shot against the Boston Red Sox en route to a 4-1 Yankee win. Yankee Stadium at the time cost $2.5 million and was the first ever to feature three decks. I got a chance to be there at the old Yankee Stadium the final week it was open in business. And what a cool place. You know, new Yankee Stadium's nice, but you can't replicate the history that you get in an old building like old Yankee Stadium. So very, very cool there. And that's one that I will certainly never forget. All right, it was also on this date in 1925 at his apartment in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. 65-year-old Dodgers owner Charles H. Ebbets dies of a heart attack. Later that day, his team would open the home in Brooklyn, losing to the Giants at Ebbets Field by a score of 7-0. All right, also on this date in 1939 in Brooklyn, Red Barber calls the action in his first broadcast of a regular season Dodgers game that was a 7-3 loss to New York at Ebbets Field. The future Hall of Fame announcer was brought in from Cincinnati by Larry McPhail, the new team president, who had hired the old redhead when he was in a similar position with the Cincinnati Reds. On this date, 1939, Red Barber calls his very first game. Of course, Red Barber, one of the great announcers of all time. And speaking of great announcers of all time, it was on this date, April the 18th of 1950, Vin Scully calls the first game of his illustrious 67-year career with the Dodgers. That was a 9-1 Brooklyn loss to the Phillies on opening day in Philadelphia at Shibe Park. Scully, just 22 years old at the time, will become, of course, the most iconic broadcaster in all of baseball history, awarded the Commissioner's Historic Achievement Award by Bud Selig in 2014. There you go. On this date in 1950, the great Vin Scully also called his first action of a 67-year career in Major League Baseball with the Dodgers, not only in two cities, but on two coasts as well. All right, a couple more for you. It was on this date in 1960. Ted Williams becomes the first major leaguer to homer in four different decades when he takes Camilo Pascual deep over the center field wall for the only run in a Red Sox 10-1 opening day loss at Griffith Stadium. In 1939, the 20-year-old hit the first of 521 career homers, a first inning 2-run shot off of Bud Thomas in Philadelphia at Fenway Park. So there you go. On this date in 1960, the first ever major leaguer to homer in four different decades. That's probably something maybe we'll see it again. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. All right, one more for you here. We'll wrap up with this one. It was on this date in 1982, Joe Torre's Braves would set a National League record when they win their 11th consecutive game to start the new season. They beat Houston 6-5 at the old Astrodome. The Braves would go 89-73 that year and extend the mark to 13-0 when they had two more victories against the Reds at Atlanta's Fulton County Stadium. How about that? 13 straight wins to start a campaign. Really, really cool stuff. The Dodgers will probably be the closest to come to that, and even the Dodgers are, 13-2 now. That was a thriller last night in Southern California. What a catch to end the game by Mookie Betts to end that ball game. So there you go. That's a look at this date in baseball history. And that's going to do it for our show here today. As always, we appreciate those of you for tuning in. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. If you haven't, what in the world are you waiting for? And we appreciate all of you who have done so. We'll do it again tomorrow. Braves under the lights with the Cubs tonight. It'll be Bryce Wilson taking on Kyle Hendricks, 7:08 p.m. And of course, our coverage starts with 6:80 game day. Chris Domino and I will be on the air at 5:10 p.m. Eastern locally here in Atlanta. And then the Braves Radio Network picks up the coverage at 5:55 p.m. Eastern, wherever you might be in Braves country. Hopefully you will join us for all of the action. And then, again, hopefully we're talking about a Braves win on the Hyundai postgame show as well. Folks, enjoy your Sunday, and we'll talk to you tonight for Sunday Night Baseball from Wrigley Field.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet? Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.